Commission meeting for April 16th to order. We establish a quorum from my far left.
Rhonda Lawson, present.
Gloria Fleming, present.
Douglas Ward.
Norm Klum, present.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Don Griner has an excused absence. He's out of town today. Pledge of Allegiance. Alonzo, will you do that for us, please?
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under added agenda items, does the commission have anything they wish to add to the next meeting?
I want to add summer meetings.
Say that again.
Summer meetings.
Oh, okay. We can talk about that. Yes, ma'am.
And I need to add a discussion on how we're going to approach regulations in the land use codes for medical marijuana.
Okay. I can't spell marijuana, so I'll just write down
Mary Jane. Medical Mary Jane.
Medical pot.
Yeah, reefer, whatever.
We'll put that...
Pot's easier.
Yeah, pot. Three letters.
We'll put that under item number 8 for tonight. Item number 5, public comments. I see we have a huge audience tonight, so anyone like to have anything to say?
Just come to listen and get plugged into the community.
Remember that we do this very informally, so as we're going along tonight, if you do have a question, don't hesitate to raise your hand because you have the right to speak just like everybody else. Approval of the meeting minutes from Wednesday, March the 19th. Alonzo, any corrections or additions?
I read through them and I didn't see anything that I didn't approve of, so I said go ahead.
Alright. Everything okay? Everything okay for me?
Okay for me.
Alright, then I'll accept a motion to approve the commission meeting minutes of March the 9th.
I'll make that motion.
March 19th.
March 19th. I missed the one.
I'll second the motion.
19th. Any further discussion? All in favor, vote please.
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimous. Maybe one of these days I'll figure out what day it is.
I just wondered if there was a meeting I didn't know about.
Deborah McMahon, sign code discussion.
Okay. As you are all aware, in 2010 and 2011, we adopted the comprehensive plan, and then in 2011 we adopted all of the implementing ordinances. The sign code is one of those implementing ordinances. At the time we did that, and we did a lot in a very few short years, we recognized that there would need to be some tweaks and tune-ups when we found some boo-boos in the code or we needed to add something. And in front of you, you have the sign code that Patty graciously has made a copy of. You should also have a copy of this in your binder that you bring to each meeting. If you go to page, I believe it's 28, hang on here.
My binder didn't have this in it.
Oh, okay.
I looked through it completely. Oh, I went and printed my own one out.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, now you have.
Now I have this.
On page 28, we talk about temporary signs and residential sign zones. And then on the next page, we talk about commercial and industrial. With the elections coming up, I spotted a boo-boo. Typically, temporary political signs, as long as they're behind the property line and there's one per property, most cities, and I did some checking on this so that we're consistent with Central Oregon, allow a maximum of a 4x8 side, which is a sheet of ply. And what I found in our language is that it's kind of messed up and it's too small. And as staff, with approval of the city manager, we we went and did an exception to allow people who are going through the election cycle to have a 4x8 sign. Because what we have in the code is 6 square feet in area, or 4 feet in height, which is confusing and doesn't make any sense. So with your permission, this is something that we'll put on as a list of things that need to be changed. We'll bring back language for you to review. And because we're in the sign code, what I'd like to do is approach the professional sign people in the community that we've worked with in the past and ask them if they've bumped up against anything. Because if we're going to make changes, let's try to group as many as possible. And there'll be some things that need to be clarified, because as you use them, you just see a better way to do things. So this is one with political signs. There'll be others, and with your permission, I'd like to have a little bit of public outreach, get as many comments as we can, bring that back to you in one ordinance amendment, and then we zip that to the city council.
A question, Deborah.
Uh-huh.
You said one political sign. Does that mean one per candidate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have one.
Yeah, I misspoke. Sorry.
Okay.
My most important thing about temporary signs is that they're behind the property line, that they're safe, they don't blow over, and that they're removed after the election.
They have so many days to remove, don't they? Yeah.
They do. That we have as 5 days after the public election.
Thank you.
And if people think that's too short, we can talk about that too, but we don't want to let things get out of hand.
I just read that the counties, and I think theirs is... maybe 5 days.
Some cities allow up to 20. I think at that point you start forgetting. So.
Getting where you put them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it only takes 1 day to put the signs up. There's no reason why you can't take them down in 5.
I
put up
so.
15 signs in about 35 minutes. And not all of them are behind the property line either.
They must be, otherwise I can go take them and burn them.
Don't touch my signs.
Can't have them in the right of way.
They're not in the right of way. Yes,
sir. Oh, point of clarification.
If you're going to speak, state your name and address, please.
Michael Carrier, 16129 Dyke Road.
Thank you.
On the elections, you mean the general election, right? Not
any.
The primary.
Any.
Okay. Well, yeah, but if you've got a primary candidate that makes it through and is going to the general election, you may want to leave your sign up.
Well, no, the
general
the
election.
Code says you can't put the sign up until 121 or 125 days before the election.
Right.
So,
well, there's signs all over for the primary.
From the middle of May till the middle of 1st of May to the 1st of November is longer than that time frame.
I understand the primary
and then go back up.
The primary is May 20th.
Yeah.
So there's signs up all over the county.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
Well, then 120 days, that's, you know, if you can only leave it 120 days, then you got an issue.
No, because
your candidate is running for primary and then he's running for the general election in November. That's a longer period than 120
days. I know, but what I'm saying is that I see you have a Tony DeBone button on. If he wins in the primary, and there's not 125 days between the primary and the general election, you'd have to pick those signs up and then put them back out again within that 125 day time frame.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I live in the county, and there's signs everywhere all over the county.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to worry about it.
Whatever the county does out there, they can do it. We're only concerned with what's going on here.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the fact that, you know, some of these candidates, like Tony or whoever, they make it to the primary and then they go on to the general election. And to go out and pick up all the signs after and then wait for a couple of weeks and then put them all back out.
That has been the way it's been for a long, long time.
Okay. Yeah.
What we're trying to do, everybody should understand that personally, I've got a big thing on sign code. When I drove down here tonight to my house, I came down Highway 97 from Wickiup Junction, where the sign says Lapine, 2 miles. And I counted 14 sign code violations on Highway 97 within the city. And they've been that way for
a long time.
Many, many years. How we're going to get it fixed, I haven't got a clue.
Piece at a time.
Huh?
Piece at a time.
Well, we haven't started any pieces yet, though.
Oh, we have.
Yeah.
We have. The things that are important are that we've adopted a code. We have a sign permit process. When people need signs, they come in and get permits. That education is going forward. It starts at the chamber and the business community. Those discussions have occurred. If we continue on with education, then flowing into the code enforcement at a more aggressive pace will make sense. But we have to do things kind of a piece at a time, and we are making progress.
Yeah. Is there a way we can communicate with the chamber to ask for their cooperation in getting some of their members to
yes.
fix their inappropriate illegal signs?
Renee Kapp is really a nice person. She has her own sign company. She's also been active with the chamber, and she's given several presentations about that on our behalf, actually, and as an informational to the chamber, and I think it's helped because they had come up with something that didn't meet our code. I communicated that to Renee, and she's been working with the chamber.
She has been very effective in every chamber mm-hmm. breakfast. She gives about a 5-minute piece on something other aspect or something that's come up and gets comments back from the business community.
Yeah.
It's been a very effective presentation.
And that's how we'll get things fixed. You know, years and years of having horrible signs, not all of them horrible, but there are a lot here. It's just going to take a while until we can get them picked up. Businesses will change out. We'll get more cooperation at that point.
Whose actual job is that to do? Is that your job or is that Rick Allen's job?
Both.
Both of you together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that generated by complaints the same as nuisance or?
Sometimes. I think it's more of a staff driven thing, particularly if we see a safety issue. If I see a sign flopping down, or one that's hanging over a street where they haven't maintained something, you know, those things get taken care of immediately. But the little ugly signs, the accumulation that we all find that needs to be spruced up, that's not as important as the public safety ones. So things are kind of triaged and prioritized. I know you'd like it done tomorrow, but
well, I'll give you a good example. I asked the chamber a year ago if they would help out with their members on illegal signs. Not one thing has happened. Now, it's been a year. Not one sign has been corrected. Not one thing has been, nothing been done, period. And that's been a year ago.
I see incremental progress, and we'll just continue to keep fighting at it. That's the only way to deal with it. We don't have the money to hire full-time code enforcement staff. So
what about volunteers?
Yeah, with the triage and the tiers and the high priorities, you know, public safety first, along with education, make sure people don't fall into mistakes. Making sure that we have an easy process for people to get permits and they know about it. The fees are quite low, and that too helps people feel more comfortable about getting a permit. It's not such a barrier. So, 4 years ago we were nowhere. Today, we're getting closer.
Is there no written permit for signs, or that just go on code violations on the website or when it gets to
the
website?
You're required to get a sign and a sign permit anytime you put up new signage.
Right, but I mean the existing ones are violating. Can we as a planning commission member turn in a written complaint on a sign?
Yes, of course.
And
of course.
That comes to go. Okay.
Yeah. Or Rick if he's here.
Okay.
So not sure what's going on with the lights. We'll just have to do that.
Well, you're talking about here 4 years, but I know, and I don't know what's actually happening behind the scenes, but Tony's political opponent from Sisters has two billboards up there, and he's had them up there since September, October. And, you know, so, I mean, Ben still has issues, even though they've had their sign go for a long time.
I know. I wrote two of them there, and there are things in Ben that we fought and fought and fought on, and finally you get some movement, you get things fixed. But what really helps is when the business community, through the change out, change of use, new business owners coming in, increasing that awareness and having things turn over really does help.
So I got a question. Besides somebody just writing a written complaint about a sign that's out of ordinance, out of code, you and Rick are the only other ones that will go around and let them know that the sign is out of code?
Right.
Are you looking for anybody that can do that besides yourselves, or?
We just don't have the funds.
What about volunteers?
Sure. If we had volunteers trained that could go out and help people, give them copies of our code and informational materials, that would be fabulous. They would have to go through a little training with us, make sure the message is consistent. But if we had volunteers to do that, to work alongside the chamber and letting business owners know what's happening, that would be a great thing.
Thank you.
Send them our way.
How much training are we talking about? An hour, half a day, 2 days?
Probably 2 or 3 hours. It'd be kind of a goodwill gesture to let people know that we care about livability, that we have rules, that yes, it does cost money to improve things, but we want you to be aware of what we have. So there's a little bit of education with the person you're talking with, and how to approach people, because not everybody's going to be thrilled about having that person show up and say, hey, your sign, you know, is out of compliance. But we can train people in about 3 hours and then work with them.
That is one thing that was not grandfathered in, was it? I mean, I've had this sign for 50 years.
Well, actually, we did put some language in. Come on. Should be at the end.
I remember talking about it, but I didn't know if we put any language in about it.
Yeah, I looked it up the other day. The city's goal under last page, 46, paragraph 23, compliance schedule. The city's goal is to have all signs within the city limits be in compliance with this ordinance by July 1st, 2016. The city may elect to extend this timeline or create triggering events to assure incremental compliance. And what we meant by triggering events were, let's say we wanted to crack down on loose A-frame signs, just as example. I'm not saying that's where the council wants us to go, but let's say that is one type of sign that they want us to make sure got cleaned up. We would do that. Or signs that are just spray painted paper, you know, tacked onto a 4x8 piece of ply. You know, that can be dangerous. It blows off. It's unsightly. So that's what that means when we talk about creating triggering events. So we did get it in. So approach, I think we do some outreach to the sign experts, outreach to the community. We'll have some public noticing in the papers and see if we can get a little larger participation from the chamber and the business community to help with that. And then we should probably have a workshop to go over all the comments received and have a little public session where people can bring forward anything that they haven't written. A lot of people just like making a presentation instead of writing something out. If you agree with that approach, I will start on that.
Well, first off, I'd like to say that don't get the wrong impression. I wasn't picking on you.
Oh, not at all.
What aggravates me is that Gloria spent 2 years working on ordinances for the city. Mm-hmm. 2 years. That was a year ago. And we have all these ordinances, and nothing's happening.
No, that is not true.
Well,
I will argue with that, with you on that, because that's just not true. It's not happening at the fast pace we all wish it would happen at. But we can spar outside later.
But I have examples of it not working, but I won't say anymore.
Well, bring up. List them for me.
So has there been any signs that have been enforced and out of code and actually have corrected them?
Yes. Yes.
Well, code enforcement itself didn't really go into effect until January?
We did not take over the planning program, including signs, until January 7th. Before then, we worked collaboratively with the county on their sign rules, mainly because people didn't want to invest in their money in signs that they knew would be instantly non-conforming if they were ruled by the city's regulations after January. So we worked with quite a few people to make sure that their signs were compliant not only with the county, which is a very flexible ordinance, but also made sure that they met the requirements of our ordinance, which is a more urban ordinance, a little tighter, has a little more regulations and restrictions, because that's what we wanted to be as a city.
Well, you were asking us if we wanted to go ahead with that education, communication?
Yeah.
Sure we are.
Okay, then I'm ready to roll and talk with the chamber, bring up the same things with them, talk with the pros, and then kind of have a work session open house where we can collect more data and see if we can't polish up any other things that need to be done in the sign code, since we're going to make some changes anyway.
Yeah, well, I think the more you can get out to the public, the better off we are. Like the ordinances, you know, they've had several articles I've seen come out, you know, we're changing things in the pine.
Yeah.
We need to do more and more of that.
I think so, too.
So they know what's happening. It's a cheap, inexpensive way to get the word out.
And it's all about our livability. We want to have a different face on the pine. We want to be more urban. We've worked hard to get where we are. And so we need everybody to pull their weight and plan to bring things into compliance, or just change things out and remove things that are non-compliant. For example, somebody who's only allowed 2 signs and they have 20, yeah, that's a higher priority. That comes right below public safety is something we've got to deal with.
Okay, we see something and we turn in a written complaint to you, to the council or wherever we turn it into. You effectively send out a letter to them first?
I usually like to talk with them first, meet them on site, mm-hmm. show them what's happening, follow that up with a letter so they know that there's going to be a paper trail, and then hopefully work with them to get it completed or a timetable for completion. I think the worst thing in the world is to say we're going to enforce the civil infraction, which is every day of the infraction that the sign is there. Does it make any sense to fine somebody $6,000 a month
right.
if they can give me a timetable to fix it in 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to work with people.
Yeah.
Is that one the only one that you know of specifically that you want to change, or are there some other things that you want to change?
Yeah, there's some other things to make it clearer, more understandable. I want to flex up a little bit in the commercial area and probably ratchet it down a little more in the residential areas, just so that we not create problems.
But you didn't indicate anything in here.
There's nothing major. This is the first one I saw that is just wrong. It's like a paragraph's missing, so yeah. We'll add that back in.
And going back on what Norm said about writing a complaint about a sign, how does somebody else know that that has been, that that matter is in the process of being taken care of? So like if I come in and submit a, another complaint and now I have two on the same sign, is there some place you can go and look at that there's a progress in for a certain sign that's being worked on?
Yeah, it will have a land use number and file, so we'll be able to track it. We'll probably use something as simple as an Excel spreadsheet with the tax lot number, because that's one thing that is unique to each lot. And then with some colloquial data about, you know, it's Ray's Shopping Center or Gordy's this or that, so that it's easy for people to figure out where things are. So there will be a land use record, and it'll be a permanent record within the city.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You have anything else?
Yes, marijuana.
Well, on the sign to it.
Oh, no.
Anyone out here?
One quick question. You know, the senior center just got their new LED sign in. Beautiful sign. Have you ever driven by it at night, on a dark night?
Yes.
Rather bright.
It is
bright. And distracting. I've had several people comment to me about the beautiful sign during the day, very legible, but at night it's almost blinding. Is there any way of toning that down at night?
The woman to your left is in charge of that sign, and it's, I think she's been working on tuning it.
Yeah.
There's no way you can.
You can't
tone it.
Okay, so you can't cut out half the wires.
It doesn't go to shades. We could turn it off at night.
With the lack of street lights out there to offset it, it's rather bright. But that's the nature of LEDs.
That's a good point. A light over that would actually offset
the only thing
that
can happen.
Yeah. And some of the signs have photocell that determines light level and will pick off actually up to half your lights.
Mm-hmm. But that's something to think about when we go through the code. Mm-hmm. Being by itself, I think, does make it seem brighter than it might appear if it's in a strip setting.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing more and more LEDs used because they're efficient. They get the message out very crisply and cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go through Bend or Redmond, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because the setting of that particular sign, there's no other lights around.
Yeah.
So when you drive by it, it glares.
Well,
out there quite a bit.
Keep in mind that the council has already approved.
Well, I understand.
Streetlights.
Mm-hmm. And that may
and that will that would
help yeah, just
ministry.
Drop that.
But that's probably not till next year.
Yeah. But what I was trying to get to was one of the things you might think about in your sign code is getting sensors on these LEDs for light level.
Yeah, or time limits.
Well, it's just a light level sensor.
Mm-hmm.
So if it gets dark, it drops that brilliance down a little bit. It's like your TVs at night. If you turn the lights down, the light level on the TVs, these new ones, will drop with it.
A lot of the early LEDs, that sign may not be able to.
I don't think it. I don't think it was designed to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm talking from my experience on the East. I just came from the East Coast, and all of the signs had light level sensors on them to draw them back as light levels changed. Because even with good street lights, some of those LEDs were practically strobes. And this one isn't that kind of a sign, but that might be something you want to think about if you're going to start looking at your code again.
Karen, does that sign stay on all night?
Yes. Pardon?
Does that sign stay on all night?
Yes, it's on. All night long.
Consider putting a
You'd have to turn it off, and then you have to reprogram it the next day. It's not an easy. And you know, when we went looking for signs, they ran any place from $1,000 to $26,000. Mm-hmm. And what he's talking about is a $26,000 sign.
Yeah.
You buy what you can afford.
It just, in a matter of time, then other things will be out there and it'll look just fine.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all
it
I
It is a good looking
sign. Okay. Are you going to carry the ball on Or do you want me to do it? Well, let's just talk about this medical marijuana thing.
Yeah, I was assigned today by the city manager.
Assigned?
Assigned.
Oh, boy.
I've been assigned. It's like going into the military. To begin the discussion of how we would want to regulate the placement and operation of medical marijuana centers. And so what Rick wants us to do is think about such things as location, zone, hours of operation. Signage is taken care of by the signage code. But think about where in the community we should regulate those. Right now, the code is written to allow them today, consistent with and not violating any kind of language about you must meet federal regulations. But if they go into an existing building, the code would allow that today. But the council is taking a perhaps a stricter view, and what Rick would like us to do is kind of put together a template of what we think would be appropriate for the operation side of it and how we would write text and code to regulate. Pretty straightforward. What I'll do is come back to you with template slots that we can talk about and fill in. Examples like I said, hours of operation. Should it be 24 hours? Should it be 10 to 5? Those kinds of things, and perhaps the reasons why, so that when we write the supporting findings for what we're doing, we've got the background to support what we're recommending to the council.
I was under the impression that we had no control over hours of operation.
That's what I've been asked to do.
How can we say to Karen over here that she's going to open a pot shop and it's going to be, it has to be closed on Sunday and it can't be open before 6 a.m. and it has to be closed by 7 p.m. and then allow Ace Hardware to, or Bi-Mart or anybody else to be open till 10 p.m.? How can we legally do that?
Well, we legally require people not to start construction, outside construction with backhoes and heavy noisy equipment.
No, what I'm talking about is when they occupy the, are you talking hours of operation when they're open and selling or when they're building?
Open and selling.
What I'm saying is there are things in the code now that regulate activity. And what Rick wants to do is to have a discussion about that and recommend something to the council. Now, if your recommendation is nothing, that there's no regulation, that's a recommendation.
Well, now I presume the council is going to do something as far as this one-year moratorium this month?
I don't know. That's my understanding. I don't have the full background.
Because doesn't that come up?
Comes in
2 weeks.
Next May 1st?
Yeah.
Well, there's... This is it. It has to be done in April.
We're having a hearing on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday. It's just a hearing.
23rd.
Yeah. So...
That's the city council?
Mm-hmm. And they'll make a decision at that time.
That is just a moratorium. We're still going to have to deal with that issue at some point, possibly. So if we have some things already in place,
that's our task.
That's what you're asking.
Yeah. We need to get ready.
Because like it or not, or do like it, it's going to happen sooner or later. Mm-hmm. So we may get a jump on it and maybe be able to control more than a lot of people.
Well, liquor stores, they have hours of operation and different, things, and that's not that much different as far as, adults and that kind of stuff, so.
I know with me having children still in school and that I would definitely want to know location, zone.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Hours of operation.
So many feet from a school.
Absolutely. Yep. And I had a lot of questions myself about that coming into our community. Because I have children, and so I like the moratorium being for 1 year, so I can think you look at all the information because it's all over the board that I've been looking at.
Yeah.
When is that meeting?
Next Wednesday.
6 o'clock. So the Planning Commission has a say if we can put in, implement location and zoning hours. I would love to be part of that.
Oh, we will. We're directed to, and to start the discussion off, I'll have a template for you, and then we'll sit down with our zoning maps and look at where the zones are now. I'll probably blow up a few things so that we can see in a little more detail. I believe we have an aerial from the downtown area. If we don't, I'll get an aerial from the county for our commercial areas. I don't believe we should be in the industrial areas, mainly because I don't think they get enough eyes on the street. Residential areas, no. School zones,
Park
facilities, parks, no. So we're going to be in the commercial areas. And probably, you know, just eyeballing it, we're going to be in the areas that are probably either along the highway where it's not where we want our traditional downtown core to be, but something that has lots of easy access, eyes on the street, that kind of thing.
If it had to be, I'd love to have it in that building over there right next to the sheriff's department.
That's a good place.
How about on the other side?
That's a very good place.
You know that we've already had two people apply.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it...
And they're talking about right on Highway 97.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to get into philosophical or discussion that's emotional, but if the state says here's the law and the city says here's the law and people have prescriptions, then we need to make sure that the places fit into a certain area of the community where it's the most convenient for everybody involved and it doesn't affect schools, kids, all that.
Even having two applicants, I think that would be the most I'd ever see in this community. One would be sufficient. Two, okay.
In a small community.
Well, do we have the legality to say no? If, let's just say, for example, that the city decides, well, we only need one. If we're gonna have one, one's enough, but we have three applications. Is it legal to say yes to one and no to two?
I think the city council will have to make that decision and Jeremy will have to review that part. I don't have an answer to that.
But can we recommend, you're saying location, can we also recommend how many we think there should be?
Yes. And then Jeremy will have to scout that.
Is that your template?
Pretty much.
Because that is important.
Yes.
Yeah, the county got 17 applications immediately, and they said that they're not going to approve anywhere near that when they lift the moratorium in the county. Ben got 7 or 8, and they said yes to 1 or 2 at this point.
Yeah, they've got some in operation.
Yeah.
There's already 3 up here.
They're going to put just a couple in. What the state wants to do is a moratorium to look at how the model in Washington and Colorado is working.
Yeah.
Apparently pretty well.
No, Alonzo, you have any additional comments you'd like to make?
I don't have any additional comments.
Gloria?
Do you have any idea, when will we be discussing that? I mean, are you going to send this to us for the next meeting?
Yes, I'll have it to you for the next meeting.
Okay.
The sign stuff, you're going to have to give me some time to get people involved and working on that. I want to do some face-to-face discussions with the chamber and get some buy-in. I don't want to do anything with the signs that doesn't have the backing of the chamber. It would be ridiculous not to have their full support as we go forward. They are the business community. So. That's all I had on those two topics.
I'm good.
Okay, well, personally, as far as I'm concerned, I'm totally against marijuana shops. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. I do not believe in it. I think if somebody's on medical marijuana, they can get it just like I get my medicine right over here at Bi-Mart through the pharmacy. But that's not the way the world's going to work. So what we need to do, very important, we need to set down a group of rules. How many, where they're going to be, where they can't be, if we can get away with it, hours of operation, days of operation. We need to make sure that we know who those people are that are running these things. We need to know, where is this merchandise coming from? It's got to come from somewhere, because they're not growing it themselves. They're buying it from a grower somewhere. And we need to have a complete list that we can all agree on.
That's what you're talking about, though.
And then send it off to the council for their approval or disapproval. So, do we have a consensus on that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Now, the council, this meeting on the 23rd.
It's a hearing, yeah.
Right. It's a hearing?
Yeah.
It's a hearing of the ordinance, the moratorium ordinance.
It's so, to adopt or not adopt the moratorium.
Yeah, right. It's the last council meeting of the month.
Yeah.
They have to do it then. Because if it runs into May, they can't do anything.
Yeah, it's an open public debate.
Regular
council. And in fact, it's the only thing that's on the council's agenda.
Yes.
Even though we've tried to put some other things on there, they're not accepting anything else.
Yeah, we don't want to be here till midnight.
Well, you use Robert's Rules of Order and limit the discussion to 30 minutes in the conversation. What they've got to say is, you know, much more than the tired old debates that have been going around is not going to get said. The council just has to make a decision.
That's correct.
And I'm with you, but it's coming whether we like it or not. And I agree with Gloria, except that I'd be a little more strict. I'd put the thing in the jail cell and let them sell it from there.
Yeah,
then we'd just walk them down the hall, put them in the next cell.
But we don't live in,
we don't live in
the land of Oz, so we have to get along the best we can with what we got.
Slowly, the U.S. is adopting the European model on drugs.
Uh-huh.
And it's coming, whether the Bible Belt wants it or not.
Yeah.
And they're going to legalize it all, control it, and we'll see all the money come out of it.
So what I would ask each member here to do, you will bring us some paperwork to work with.
Correct.
At our next meeting next month.
Yes.
In May. Everybody should have a little list of what they think is right and what they think is wrong.
Okay.
And we'll try to keep the meeting next month to just that, if we can.
Regulations.
So we have plenty of time to set something down that is comprehensive and complete,
right,
logical and intelligent.
Right.
Okay. And I think, and then we'll go from there. Is that okay? Is that
sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
Anything else?
That concludes.
You sure?
Everything I have.
Anybody else like to make a comment? Katie Shields?
I'm good. Thank you.
You're good? Well, how about our councilwoman, Mrs. Ward? How about you? You want to make any comments?
I hope you do your homework so that you can give us some direction on that everything's in place in a year, because in a year I have a feeling we're going to be right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Okay. Any further discussion? Comments? Norman?
No, I think it's a good time to get jumping on it and right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. 60 days or so.
That's fine.
Alonzo?
I'm okay with it.
Well, accept a motion to adjourn?
Oh, no.
No, we're
we got to go back to the summer meetings.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I missed that.
I thought we were still talking on the other.
No. Okay, Gloria.
No, well, usually in July and August, we don't have a meeting. So I've just thought I would mention that and to think about it. I will not be here in June. I'll be out of town.
Okay.
So I wanted to, if there's something that's really critical, then.
Okay. What dates are you out of town in June?
I'll be leaving on the 14th, and I won't be back until July 1st or 2nd or 3rd or something.
Well, I'm going to be gone on the 14th, too.
Oh.
Why don't we have meetings on July and August?
We usually didn't have that, you know, before we didn't have that much to do, but if there's going to be some of us that are going to be gone in June, we might want to have a meeting in July, you know, that's what I'm saying.
We've normally canceled those 2 months because normally everybody's out of town on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gone in June, I'm going to be gone in August, I'm going to be gone in September, and I'm going to be gone in October. But I am going to be gone around this. Okay. I'll be gone before and after, but
I'm okay with meetings. So
okay. If we can have, you know, enough for make a quorum, we can go ahead and have a meeting. If we can't, then we'll just have to wait a month.
Okay.
So, well, that's why I wanted to let you know ahead of time, so that, you know, if there's something.
So then let's do this. Everybody supply me with a list of when you're going to be, if you know, when you're going to be out of town for June, July, August, September, and October.
That would be great. And can you forward that to us so we know too?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you won't get a list from me.
You're going to be in town, huh? Yeah, the best ones.
The doors are open.
The doors are open, yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's
okay.
Basically
all right. Then I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Also move.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are. Ooh, I get to use this. Adjourn.
Yeah.